2 Samuel chapter 1 in your Bibles. 2 Samuel chapter 1. You would imagine if you told a man his enemy was dead that he would rejoice. But not David. Saul was not David's enemy. David was Saul's enemy. Verses 11 and 12, 2 Samuel chapter 1. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. As we see David weeping, his soldiers wept with him. The heart of the people should be knit with the heart of their leader. Should be. It's not always possible, difficult for us. But they all wept. They all fasted. They all mourned. First of all, they mourned for Saul. When they thought about Saul, they knew here was a man with great human gifts. His stature, his personality, his family. God had been so good to King Saul, but he had a poor heart towards God. And it is your heart towards God that determines your usefulness for God. Like Samson, of all he could have been, he came up so short. Do you ever get excited when you see someone come to the Lord and you think about their tremendous potential before God? What marvelous things the Lord could do if that person would yield themselves to God. As we see the people weeping and mourning for Saul, it is a lesson to us all to see how great a waste one can make of their life if they are not yielded to God, and it applies to every one of us. I want you to hold your place here and go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 12. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Paul says, oh, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you. One of the things about getting old is your memory goes. Second of all, they mourned for Jonathan. Jonathan was a selfless person, giving and sacrificing. He was a true friend to David. When David thought of him, every time David thought of him, he was encouraged because he was such a good friend. There are people like that in our lives, people who have stood by us, people who have loved us enough to tell us the truth, people who have helped us through some deep waters in our life. I was going through a difficult time in Roseburg. And I had won this fella to the Lord. He had a brother-in-law he didn't like. And that brother-in-law was giving me some trouble. And Charlie came over to the house one night. He said, "Brother Gray, I know what my brother-in-law is saying about you." He said, "Do you want me to go over there and beat the devil out of him?" And I thought, Charlie was a great big Green Beret that had fought in Vietnam, and he could have torn his brother-in-law. He didn't like him anyway, but to give him a reason to go over there and beat the devil, I said, "You know what, if you do that, I'm going to get blamed for it. Don't do it." And he said, "Okay, but if you ever need me to do it," and that came across my mind several times through the years. And then the Bible says they mourned for Israel. Israel suffered a great defeat. All the people that identified with the true and living God suffered. We will be a stronger people and have stronger churches as we begin to identify personally with the family of God. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a difference between the family of God and the church of the living God. You understand that. When you get saved, you become a member of the family of God, but you are not a member of the church of the living God until that church baptizes you. Okay? We should have a special commitment toward God's people. And I want to give you three reasons why we should have that commitment. First of all, we have the same Father. We are all saved the same way. We are born into the family of God, so we have the same Father. I was a child of the devil by nature. I became a child of God by faith. And we all got saved the same way. Everyone needs to get eternity settled in their heart. I want to take just a couple of minutes, and because I don't know all of your testimony of salvation. But if we could have two or three of you just give your testimony of salvation, what led up to it, that kind of thing. Anyone? Second of all, we have the same future. We have the same Father. We have the same future. Somebody said this, "To dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with those we know, well, now, that's another story." But we're all going to the same future. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that's the same place for us all, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about heaven there. It's where the family of God is going to wind up. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Boy, I love this portion of Scripture. Most of the funerals that I do, this will be read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 13. Let the majestic cadence of the Scripture speak to your heart. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to be caught up. This is talking about the rapture. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those who have God as their Father have hope and are not to sorrow like we don't have hope. I've gone to people who are dying, and I want to be a blessing to them. I want to speak to them. But they say something like this: God has given me such peace. Maybe they are suffering so bad, and they simply say this: I just want to go home. Mark Cannon, the last time, several minutes before he died, he said, Brother Gray, I just want to go home. And he wasn't talking about going over to his house. He's talking about going home to heaven. They are very hopeful, not about being healed, but about going to heaven. I walk away from them being helped far beyond my helping them, because they are going through something that I have not experienced at this point. We have the same Father. We have the same future. We have the same enemy. Abraham Lincoln said during the Civil War, my friends are people who have the same enemy that I have. We have a common enemy. He is after my children just like he is after your children. He's after my grandkids just like he is after your grandkids. He's after my marriage just like he is after yours. Even though Tina and I have been married almost 50 years, we need to determine by the grace of God that we are not going to fight each other, but help one another fight the same enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have the same enemy. And God help us to be a blessing one to another. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church's commitment to your word as being inspired and preserved and inerrant. And every time that we look at your word, we have the truth that is absolute. And we are thankful that we can say things with authority to our kids and to our grandkids. And let them know that yielding themselves as instruments of righteousness unto God is the best way to live their life. In Jesus' name, amen.